All right, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, it's pretty bad. You know, the last thing I just saw, the first thing I just saw when I come up here, was Darryl McConnell looking at me, walking down the aisle. So that's a bad way to begin the sermon right there, ain't it? I'm just messing with you. Okay? Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 12 through, I said 31, but it's really not 31. I think it's verse 26. I'm entitled, "This the Essential Ingredients for the Church." You know, there's some things that are essential when it comes to ingredients. And the one thing that comes to my mind, that I dearly love, that I don't drink all the time because I'm trying not to eat so much sugar, and I've been trying to walk, I've been trying to drink water. That's no fun for the most part. I didn't do too good. Cause I went down to Knoxville Tuesday or Wednesday for an appointment, and I ate at Maple Street Biscuit Company. Anybody ever ate there? I've been telling everybody. And you know, that's right. And let me tell you something. Matt's the one that recommended, and it was wonderful. By the way, he's recommended three things to me. Calhoun's, the original Calhoun's, because I went to another one that wasn't near as good, so he's right about that. The Calhoun baby back ribs were delicious. He said that. Then I went to, Southern Craft, and it was wonderful. And then I went to, Maple Street Biscuit Company. One in Johnson City. I was in the one in Knoxville. And it was wonderful, okay? So anyway. I messed up that day. And then I forgot what I ate that night. I ate some tacos, I think, with Camarena. So I did terrible. And I got a Sprite. But I love Kool-Aid. My whole point is I love to drink Kool-Aid. I grew up drinking it. And it's one essential ingredient. Sugar. I mean, obviously water is too, but sugar, I mean. You know, if you don't have sugar, you can have water and you have the Kool-Aid pack. If you don't have the sugar, you might as well just, I don't want it. You know, I don't even want to think about it. And my wife tried to cut back on the sugar one day. She made it. No, and I said, "What is this?" And she tried to give me her explanation of how, well, you don't need that much sugar. I said, I said, "You're going to put a whole cup of sugar to 2 quarts to, I do a little less water to get it nice and strong. But it's essential, okay? My whole point. It's an essential ingredient. Well, in these verses, we're going to learn about what's essential for the church. Now, here's the context. 1 Corinthians is written, it's a letter written to the church of Corinthians by Paul, and this letter was to correct the problem within the church. One of the many problems was the misuse of the spiritual gifts. And I said, a lot of the spiritual gifts season, not my sermon, because the Acts, remember, you cannot build your doctrine off the book of Acts. Okay? That was a time of transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. Because here's my answer to people who want to speak in tongue. Well, then drink poison. You say, what do you mean? Well, that verse says speak in tongue, also drink poison, and it will not hurt you. So if you're going to speak in tongues and believe the gift still seized, then go drink some poison. Or go get bit by a snake. Paul got bit by a snake and didn't kill him. Acts was a transition period. Okay, so that's all I'll say about that. But anyway. So there was a vision about these gifts. And by the way, 1 Corinthians falls in context of Acts, a time period. I get really riled up about that, but I'm not going to. The division of these gifts caused division. Now, Corinthians, the church of Corinth is no stranger to division. I just thought back after he preached. You know, the topic of leadership resulted in division. The topic of marriage resulted in division. You had some people who didn't think that you should get married because it was, you know, because of fornication. They basically said all sex is wrong, even inside of marriage. And we preached that one, you know, about 2-3 months ago. They were divided about marriage. They said even marriage is wrong. The topic of meat, sacrifice to idols, that caused division. The practice of the Lord's Supper, which we talked about 3 weeks ago, that caused division. And now we're at the improper use of the gifts or the improper attitude. And now there's more division. So this is where we're at. And because of this, Paul has been trying to teach them about the gifts. And what he said 2 weeks ago, we talked about how not to be misled. That was verses 1-3. And then last week we looked at the spiritual gifts again, verses 4-11, which was how to have unity. And so we'll continue that same topic of spiritual gifts. And Paul really has one main objective for them. and that is to continue to help them understand the nature of gifts and the nature of church. Okay? Because they don't have the right attitude about church. And so verse 12 obviously introduces an analogy that Paul will pursue at length as an illustration, and the point is simply this, as the physical body is one body that has many parts. So Paul uses this analogy to help clear up the role of gifts in the church. And as he does this, he reveals three essential ingredients, just like Kool-Aid. The Kool-Aid pack, the water, and sugar. I think it's come to my mind. Three essential ingredients. You know, it's essential. Anyway, so three things. Let's read. I'm not going to read all these verses because I can't stand when preachers read 20 verses. I'm going to be honest with you. It's on my nerves, especially if they make you stand up. I can't stand that. So that's why I don't like standing up when I'm sitting down. And I don't like I'll stand, you know. And I don't like reading. I don't like listening to somebody read 20 verses. Sorry. So anyway. So we'll read probably about five. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made drink into one spiritual gift. Verse 14, for the body is not one member but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body. And if therefore not the body, obviously he's saying, obviously it still is. Verse 16, if the ears shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body. And therefore not the body. And we'll read verse 17, 18. If the whole body were an eye, and were the hearing, where is the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleases him. And verse 18, in my opinion, is kind of the key verse of the passage. I even got highlighted. So anyway, in doing this, obviously this is kind of not a difficult text, but, you know, he gives a lot of illustrations and a lot of hypotheticals to get a point across. And so in doing this, there's three things that he reveals, in my opinion, that are essential ingredients for the church. Number one, we've already talked about last week, is unity. Unity is essential, okay? So we'll break it down like this. In verse 12, we see the analogy, okay? The analogy, and it says here, for as the body is one, has many members, and all the members that are one body, being many, are one body, so is Christ. So here's the analogy, obviously, the object. There's the object, and that is the human body, okay? So here's the truth. It's how I wrote it down in my mind. And the human body is one. That's what Paul's saying. The human body is one. I'm one body. Yet, this body of mine has many parts. But it's still one body. Okay? Now, I know that sounds very elementary. And even, I'll be honest, it's kind of hard. It would be a great sermon to preach if there was a split. You know, people were divided, running out the doors. You know, so I know you're sitting there like, okay, I got it. But stay with me, okay? The last point, the third one, I really, really liked. So anyway, I think we could drive it home. So stay with me, please. Here's the objective, though. So why did Paul say this? Paul wanted them to understand that the Christ, or that the church, is like the body, like a human body. Okay, so what do you mean? Look at verse 12. It says this. Our one body, so is Christ, okay? So let me read. That doesn't make a lot of sense, in a sense. Ask Christ, what does he mean by that? Okay? Well, verse 12 states this fact. The human body is a unit. So it is with Christ. We should expect to read it like this. So also is the church. So when you see that word Christ, obviously Christ is the church. Christ is the body. We are, you know, we're a part of that body. So when you read that verse and you start studying it out, it's the ideal here that our body is one, and so is the church. That's the ideal. Okay, so that is the objective. The ideal is that when we read the word Christ, it's like a human body. That means that the believers of Christ is like a human body. And so what Paul is trying to get them to understand, and in the context, there's division. Okay, that's why he's harping on this so much. Okay, and that he's saying you and a church are one body. So you got these up here, so you remember. A little sacrifice of the idol. You got people who say, I like eating meat, sacrifice to idols. I'm not talking to you. And over there, you got people who say, well, I don't believe anybody should be married. I'm not talking to you. And you got people here who are mad because they got the gift of speaking in tongues. And I'm not talking to you. And Paul said, whoa! Just like the human body is one. It has many parts, but it's still one. And he said, that's exactly what a church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be unified. And in case you don't believe me, John MacArthur said this about these verses. He said, Paul used the human body as an analogy for the unity of the church in Christ. Paul is trying to get across in these verses that the church is to have unity. Now, I don't really know, be honest with you, we've been talking about unity for 3 weeks. I don't know why I keep preaching about it, but that's what's so important about preaching the Word of God. It's here. And it's important to Paul, and it's important to God, and it should be important to us to have unity. To have unity. Now, I don't know why I'm preaching. Maybe something's going to happen, and somebody's going to get upset about something, but we have to have unity. Okay, that's essential. Now, not at all costs. I said that last week. Not at the cost of holiness. But that's what he's trying to get them to think. Just like the body parts are different, they are unified and essential. That's what he's trying to get across in the analogy. But now let's look at the activity. Let's look at the activity in verse 13. We are one body. We are one. But here's the question, what makes us one? You know, what we talk about, we're one. What makes us one? What makes us one body? Well, it's the activity that we experience. Look in verse 13. It says this. For by one Spirit, we all baptized into one body. Whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether it be bond or free, and we have been given all men to drink in one Spirit. Here's the activity. One Spirit, we are baptized in the body. John MacArthur said this. The church is a spiritual body of Christ, informed as believers are immersed by Christ with the Holy Spirit. Robert Piccirilli said this. At the point of conversion, we are baptized into one body of Christ by the operation of the Holy Spirit. Now, my goal today is not to get into a big debate about this, but when you get saved, you don't have to get a feeling of the Holy Spirit later. That's what charismatics teach. You get saved, now you have to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you start changing around. Well, how do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? Not my sermon. I'm going to say this. When you get saved, you get the Spirit then, okay? All right, so now I don't have time to, I could spend 2 hours on that, and y'all wouldn't want that. But I just want to say that. So when we get saved, when we get saved, we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and at that point, we are one body with other believers, and not just this church. Every church, or every body, every believer, okay? And it says drinking to one Spirit, which is really the same thing. Is that he's saying that at salvation, all believers not only become full members of the body of Christ, but the Holy Spirit is placed within them. That's what most people say, is that they drink, which means when you get saved, you're not just baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He lives inside of you. You are the temple of God at that point. That's why these walls, what we do inside these walls, matter, I guess. But it's not holy ground inside of us is. We are the church. That's why, you know, people are like, oh, don't do that in church. Why? Just a building. You should, that should be the attitude you have each and every day. No, don't do that, because I got the Holy Spirit inside of me. And if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you're not saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you're not part of the body of Christ. And you're not going to heaven. Okay, so just so you know that. So what Paul is telling him is that conversion, we receive the Holy Spirit. We become a new creature. Which means if you're on your way to heaven, you'll act like you're on your way to heaven. That's a whole other sermon too. Like you've got the Holy Spirit. You're going to act like you have the Holy Spirit. Not perfect, but you're going to act like it. I could get on 5 other sermons today. So this is what unifies us, the Holy Spirit. Not race. That's what he even said. It's funny, Not Jew. It says, whether it be Jew or Gentile. Our race is not what unifies us. Our social status, it says here, when the bond are free, that's not what's supposed to, that does unify some churches, but it's not supposed to. It shouldn't divide us either. Not financial status, but the fact that we have the Spirit if we are saved. And I'm going to read this again just for the folks who, for I know people have some charismatic backgrounds. So, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit. I like this. I think John MacArthur once said it. Baptism of the Spirit is not an experience to seek, but a reality to acknowledge. I'm going to read that again for the people who's got a charismatic background might be confused. I'll get the best way. I thought it was a way to say that, and today's not about trying to argue all that, although we will get to that in chapter 14 about the speaking in tongues. Baptism of the Spirit is not an experience to seek, but a reality to acknowledge. That means that when you get saved, you don't start seeking to have the Holy Spirit. It's the fact that you get saved, now you acknowledge that that happened. And when you acknowledge that, it should change how you live. And it should change you. A faith that doesn't change is not a faith. Faith that doesn't change is not faith. Like I said, a decision without devotion is not a decision. Here's the thing. With that all being said, we are to work together. We are to be unified. A sign of a true church is unity with, not sinners, but with believers. Unity is essential because a divided church usually won't exist very long, and this won't accomplish anything for the Lord. For the Lord. Well, again, we should be unified on the fact of seeing people saved, seeing them baptized, and seeing them teach them how the Bible says they should live. And so if we're not unified in that goal, then we won't see much accomplished for the Lord. Because we'll all be fighting, because that's not what I want. Your goal will be this, your goal will be this. But if we have unity in the fact we want to see people saved, then we will see something accomplished. Because if that's our goal, then we'll start doing the things we need to do that. By the way, have y'all asked anybody to church this week? I've done anything to see anybody saved. We're not burdened. That's a whole other sermon too. We're not burdened. So anyway, that's something I shared in Sunday school a little bit of. We're not burdened. I mean, if you hadn't done anything this week, or I hadn't done anything this week to see people saved, or see them in church under the sound of the gospel, then we're not burdened. And that's why we're in the mess we're in. We're not burdened. Anyway, unity, let's be unified at this church on the Word of God. Let's make the Word of God the most important thing here. Let's make the Word of God the most important thing in your home. Let's make the Word of God the most important thing in your life. That's what we need to be unified on. Because it doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter how you was raised. Doesn't matter what logic you came up with. What matters is what the Word of God actually says, not what you think. That's what we need to be unified on. We need to be unified, believers, by learning the Word, loving the Word, and living the Word. Unity is not only essential, but expected. If saved, we literally have the same spirit. We ought to be unified by the same spirit, but it's also essential that church has diversity. Look at verse number 2. Diversity is essential. Look at verse 14. Okay, once again, in the context, help you understand. They were different gifts. They were gifts of prophecy. They were the gifts of speaking in tongues. They was healing. Anybody want to speak in tongues? I think it'd be cool to heal people. Okay, I don't like you. I'm not healing you. Ha ha. You shouldn't talk to me like that. That's what I'd be doing. Okay. So diversity. So now they're upset that they don't all have the same gift. And Paul is going to try to make a case of you need to be diversity in the church. So here's the review. Letter A is the review. Here's the transition of the old covenant to the new covenant. They didn't have the Word of God like we do today. So when somebody said Jesus Christ is Lord or this is what's right, they had to authenticate it. So one of the things they did was speaking in tongues and authenticated that what they said was true. It was a visible sign. And in this, obviously, not only to authenticate the message, but also explain and to edify. Once again, all these spiritual gifts, is it edifying? I mean, people speaking in tongues now, is it edifying? I think we get too far from this. Did it help? Everything we do in church should be to help people understand the Word of God. Even shouting, I don't care if you shout. Shouting only benefits you, it's for you and you alone. Because you can shout all the time, but and people like it. People like it. And I had someone say that. I said something it's fine, but you shouting doesn't actually help me learn the Word of God at all. We like to be emotional. And that's fine. I'm not going to say that, I'll get on that later one day. But, so even the gifts, if they're not edifying, and people are not learning, and it's just a bunch of jabber, Oh, the person sitting down, no matter what people claim, oh, the Spirit showed up. Well, did you learn the Word of God? Did someone get saved? Did someone change their life and got out of sin? That's when the Holy Spirit showed up. So we need to make sure that thing about the gift, make sure that we are edifying everything we do if we walk away knowing more about the Word of God. So here's the disposition though. So we got this transition going on. And so what happened, you got these gifts, to edify and to help people understand, the Word of God and that Jesus Christ, really all I'm trying to do was that Jesus died for people's sins, your sin. And that's all this was to do, to help people understand that. And so here's the position. People got selfish. Some selfish members were discontent with their gifts. They wanted the gift they had not been given. So that's what happened. So because of this, some people despised their gift. Some people were jealous. Some wanted other gifts. Some thought, here's another thing, and this is where we're at a lot of time in church now. Some people thought because of what they had, there were no value. And just a little, just kind of core like this. There's people who skip church because they don't think that it matters. It does matter. It may not matter to nobody but me, but it matters if you're not in church. Okay? Some thought that their gift was unnecessary. And by the way, if you won't be, if you can skip church and not be missed, or you can skip church and it don't affect anything, then you're not doing anything. So get involved. And okay, I will miss Miss Linda Salyer because she takes care of the nursery. And just so you know, her attitude about service, she'll do whatever, whenever, however. She'll be in nursery every Sunday if she has to be. And that's the type of attitude I need people to have. Because I don't always get that attitude from people. I get attitude, I'll do it reluctantly. She don't have that. So anyway. But all of this brought division. Here's the thing. The church was not operating as it should because of a lack of understanding concerning one word, diversity. Okay, so here, diversity still, now we don't have the problem they did, but diversity still causes problems today. It causes jealousy, it causes envy, it causes pride, it causes pity. God has not given us all the same looks. He's not given us all the same talents. He's not given us all the same abilities. By the way, there's only one interpretation, and that is their diversity over the gifts. But we can't have many applications. So how do we apply this? Well, today we get upset. We get divided over things like that. Talent, ability, not being asked in. Or it's all about me. Or not all about me. Or I'm of no value. So that's the disposition we even have. So we see the review. Now let's look at the reality. A dose of the truth. Look at verse 14. There's two different ones from Paul. Look at verse 14. He said this. For the body is not one member, but many. So here's the reality. Paul says, just like the body has many members, so does the church. Not everybody's going to do the same thing. There's not going to be 20 people speaking the gifts, Paul said. There's going to be diversity, just like we're one body, but we have many different operations. Then he said this. Here's the big dose of reality. And by the way, for us, we're not all going to be able to do the same thing. Even outside of church, some people get so jealous. Somebody who can do this or that, even in just online. God didn't give us all the same ability. God gave us diversity. So quit feeling sorry for yourself that you don't have the ability someone else has. And don't feel bad about yourself because you are what you are now. Obviously, hard work can help. But you are given what you've been given. Here's the thing. It was God's decision. That's another reality. Paul said, look at verse 18. It says this. He said, and I'm going to have to hasten. Oh, I'm bad. We're going to skip some stuff. But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. It was God's decision. And so I'm going to read this thing. And here's from the physical body. I'm not going to read the verses. But from the physical body, now he goes from Paul. So he gives the analogy of the physical body. And this is what he tells us, okay? This is what we learn. Each member belongs to the body. If you're saved, it doesn't matter what you feel like. You belong in the body of Christ, okay? But here's the thing. Just like an arm never leaves the body, you should never leave the church. You should always be a part of our local believers, okay? You should always be a part. It should be something that you want to be a part of. Each member, and that's verse 15 through 16. Verse 17 says this, that each member contribution is important. It says that if the whole body were the eye, where would the hearing? If the whole hearing were smelling, where would the hearing come? So what he's saying here, that if we were all a big nose, we'd be in trouble, right? Because the eyes are pretty essential. You know, think about it. Even fingernails, which we don't think are very essential, are very essential. Think about if you hit your finger with a hammer without a fingernail. It would do a lot more damage. Eyelashes really benefit and keep stuff out of your eye. So even the smallest thing, even you today, you say, well, I don't have much to contribute. I mean, you probably got more than just not doing it. You are essential, okay? You are, that's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, content, somebody over here has got the gift of sweeping. And you've got the gift of speaking in tongues. I'm just not important. No, Paul said, no, you are essential. Just like the smallest body part in the human, you are essential. Your contribution is essential. Each member is needed. Verse 21 and 22 says then, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. Each member is needed and necessary. Here's the thing, if you are a Christian and you are a born-again believer, you are needed in the local church. You are needed and you are necessary. 23 and 24, each member can bring honor. Okay, it says a thing about, you know, to those of the body which are to think of being less honorable, unto those bestow more honor, abundant honor. Okay, I'm not going to read all the verses for the sake of time, but you can read them later. Each member, what Paul said, each member can bring honor. Go back to the part of sweeping. My spiritual gift is sweeping. You can bring honor. You can bring honor. Each of you can bring honor. Here's the problem. Bringing honor to God is not automatic. But you can bring honor. And you should. And you should watch. One thing I believe we're getting away from this as Christians is that church is not important. No, church is very important. And many of a local believer in a biblical. And that's how you can first start off by bringing honor, by coming to church. And then come faithfully. And then get involved. I can't use you if you're not faithful. Well, God can't use you. Not only me, God can't use you. You can't help the church be more effective, even be better, if you don't come to church. You can bring honor. Here's the thing. Diversity is a reality. So here's the thing. Don't be prideful. Don't be despising. Don't be jealous. And don't let it cause division. And don't let it exclude someone. Diversity is just part of life. Embrace what you've been given and bring honor to God is essential. And the best gift that we all have is the gift of availability. I taught this at school. It's not about your ability. It's about your availability. And that is so true. I'll just give you, it's so true. Like that. How many of you, see, you have everybody available until it causes them to miss a church service. That's what I found out. People don't want to serve if it causes them to miss a Sunday morning preaching, a Sunday night preaching, or a Wednesday night preaching. And that's where it's most critical. That's where our biggest needs are at right now. So if I came to you today, or my wife came to you and said, would you be willing to help in this area during Sunday morning? And if you're not missing any of them services, you can serve in that capacity. That's kind of the rule of thumb. You shouldn't miss more than one service a week or a preaching service, okay? And some people only miss more than that. But you know, if we all come together and do that, then you probably wouldn't have to do nursery or junior church for 5 months. We all just say, you know what? I'll be willing to do a little bit. If anybody be available, then no one had to be overwhelmed. I'll just say that. So probably you need to think about that. I mean, it's great that we do stuff outside of church, but we need stuff going on during church. And if we want to continue to have kids stuff for our kids, then we got to have some extra workers. So, here's the thing. Unity and diversity are essential, but finally, and the last ingredient, and I think it'll be the most important, which we'll talk about next week as well, is charity. Charity is essential. Charity. See here in verse 25, we see the condition. Is it that there should be no schism in the body. And that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice in it. And this is where we really can apply this. See, here's the condition. Here's the problem. There was a division due to jealousy over the gift. There was a lack of concern for others. Just remember, 3 weeks ago, the love feast, which was something they did before the Lord's Supper, And all come together, and basically what ended up happening, the rich folk brought their food and ate it, and we had slaves back then, and they showed up. You're not getting none of my food. Where's it all gone? There was a lack of concern, that the lack of love. There was no care for each other, and called division. And Paul here to rebuke. Paul said there should be no division in the body. The word schism there means to split and tear. You know, it's not, when a body part gets severed from the body, it doesn't feel too good. When it split, I mean, Brother Tim can talk about that, right? I mean, it takes a long time to heal from losing a member of your body. And when that happens, it's not right. He's saying that's not how it should be in the church. But yet, many times that is how it is in the church. And it shouldn't be that way. And he's saying it should not be in division. Now, by the way, what I mean by that is that we should divide on the Word of God. Like, if you say something unbiblical, or if you say something that's unbiblical, then I'm going to stand with the Word of God. And you should too. That's different. But just over petty stuff, we should not be divided. So we see the condition, but now let's see the correction. Paul corrects them. Verse 25, the last part says, but that the members should have the same care for one another. For whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members should rejoice in him. So basically what he says, care for one another. Cry with one another. When somebody's crying, you cry. When somebody is celebrating, you celebrate. That's not always what we do with it. You know, why do we not want to basically celebrate? I mean, we might cry with folks, but we very rarely celebrate with other people, right? Why is that? Because we love ourselves more. It's a lack of love. The reason we don't celebrate with other people celebrate is because it's a lack of love. John MacArthur said these verses call to mutual love and concern in the fellowship of believers. Philippians 2:1-5 says this. So if there be any encouragement in Christ, any comfort of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being full of accord of one mind. That doesn't describe many churches, does it now? Love, be of one mind. Do not do nothing for selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look only to his own interests, but also the interests of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. See, once again, that's how we're supposed to act, because we have the Holy Spirit. That's how we're going to be, that's how it's going to act. It's amazing to me that we have some people who claim to be a Christian, yet they don't act that way at all. We have people who I believe are Christian who don't always act that way. We ought to show charity. We ought to show love. And that's what we're going to talk about all next week in chapter 13. Here's the thing. Charity is an essential ingredient of the church. Let me ask you, do you love one another? Do you care about one another? Not just inside, but do we have love for other people? Here's the thing. In conclusion, are we unified in our goals and purpose? We need to have unity. And for us to apply this to today's, I think the best way is that we need to have an unity in goals and purpose. And I've said it over and over. All goals need to be three things. See people saved. See them baptized. And teach them how the Bible says they should live. That needs to be our goals at this church. And I hope it is. And if we will get unified on that, then I believe we can do great things for God. Do you have diversity? Here's the thing. Are you willing to do whatever the church needs, whether it fits your liking or not? See, a lot of us are willing to do things, but we're willing to do what we already do. And nothing more. On what we did 20 years ago. I mean, especially when it comes to kids, I know. Most of y'all only had kids are grown and are gone. And a lot of times the attitude is, well, I don't have kids here, so I don't have to help with kids. And that's how it is in nursery. And I know not everyone's that way. But, you know, well, it's what we have. So you may have done it 20 years ago, but we might need you to be re-enlist. You may need to re-enlist. Aren't you diverse in your willingness to help us at this church? And then number 3, do you love and care? Really, you can answer that. Because if you look at the bulletin, you know, it's just the self-discovery questions. Read that later. That'll tell you if you really care and love. You know, after we stand on our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed, as the piano player comes up, I do apologize. I went a little longer than I normally do. I hope you will forgive me, but I do believe that this is what we need. You know why? Because it's the Word of God. And I think today we took the Word of God and we explained it correctly. And I believe we also applied it to our lives correctly. You know, there's only one interpretation for the many ways to apply it. And if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, hey, I want you, as they begin to play at your seat or even here, ask God to help you. If you're like me, having showing charity is something I'm still convicted by. Because, like, you know, it's not, you know, showing love is not a one moment a week thing. It's every day, every minute. We're showing love. We're showing love. Anyway, if they begin to play, if God's spoken to you, I want to challenge you to talk to Him right now.